Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. California continues to struggle with licensing issues, black market sales, less than stellar tax collections on the state level, and more importantly, falling profits for cannabis businesses. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman. And it's time for another episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy.
So today we're talking cannabis. More specifically, we're talking about the situation in Canada with legal cannabis. No, we're not. We're talking about California. Sorry. You know, I once got a fortune cookie that said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And there are more than a few people who would say that applies to the current licensing situation in the state of California and the country of Canada. But I'm not in complete agreement with that yet. However, there is no possible way to deny that California cannabis owners are struggling. Many of them are in serious hot water, and frankly, the state is not being as proactive as they could be, in my opinion, when it comes to helping these folks who are trying to be legal get their businesses in good working order.
Right. One thing we're coming to see this past 2 years is that cannabis legalization is not always what it's cracked up to be. And in two of the largest markets, California and Canada, it's very problematic at times. We did an episode recently about the effects of adult use legalization in Canada and what was happening at the local level in some provinces. I can't recall the episode number, but it's in the archives along with the several other cannabis-oriented podcast episodes.
That's right. And our archived cannabis episodes range from a two-part dissection of the Cole Memo and the FinCEN 2014 banking guidance to frank discussions that we've had about whether or not the cannabis industry might even be a viable possibility for some people as a new career in some capacity or another.
Yeah, we probably have about 8 to 10 episodes that are cannabis oriented, and there's some really good information in there. I would definitely suggest the listeners check it out once this episode finishes.
Okay, so while we're on the topic of our podcast, really quickly for new listeners or people who don't know us, we have a mobile ad platform, and it leverages mobile wallets for notification and delivery. It's a super neat product. It's very cost effective. It's easy to work with, and it literally negates the need for the average business owner to build an app or have to deal with supporting an app and so on. But it provides all of the flexibility and the results of using mobile for delivery and engagement.
That's right. And it's a very effective tool to have in your arsenal, especially if you're in a competitive industry and you're looking to get a step ahead of your competition.
Right. Okay, so let's get back to the topic at hand for today, which is the serious problem that a large number of California cannabis industry business owners have. And the problem specifically is they're now struggling to see any kind of significant profits. And in a lot of cases, these people are not even breaking even.
Right. So in California, as of January 1st, 2018, that's this year if you're counting, updated their statewide cannabis laws to transition from a medical state to adult recreational use legality.
So they still have medical. We should point that out. I think there's still something like 16,000 medical cardholders in the state of California. But, you know, the transition to adult use has been kind of like the Wild West, if you ask me. And if you go back and you look at the ballot initiative that was passed by the voters, you will see that there are any number of potential loopholes, pitfalls, and as it turns out, special interest groups represented in the final version. And, you know, the very first problem that California has is with the licensing. You know, here we are at the end of the first legal year, and there are no okay, not no, but incredibly few actual annual licenses being issued. So California has 58 counties. It's a huge state. And of that, those 58, there's only 31 counties who actually license for cultivation, for instance. And I pulled some data a couple months ago, and 90% of all the cultivation licensing occurs in just 10 counties. And even more so, 50% plus of the total number of cultivation licenses are only in three counties, which are Santa Barbara, Humboldt, and Mendocino.
That's crazy. Obviously, there are plenty of people growing plenty of cannabis products all over the state. It's no wonder the state says that taxes paid into the system are falling well short of expectations and projections.
Indeed. I mean, this is only the cultivation licensing numbers that we're even talking about. The entire system for obtaining a license is so out of whack, it's nuts. So, you know, the requirements include getting local approval prior to even being able to apply for an annual license from the state. And this makes it really difficult for a lot of operators to figure out how to comply.
So there are a lot of unlicensed businesses at this point. How is that being sorted out on a street level?
Well, it's definitely an interesting time. I was at the United Cannabis Business Alliance Policy Summit a couple months ago back in LA. It was a day long and a long day of panel discussions, meetings, and networking. So, you know, it was a nice setup, and the panel members varied from elected officials wanting to get reelected, not elected people wanting to get elected. You know, there were legislature people there. They had a number of business owners from a wide range of licensing types, dispensary owners, cultivators, extractors, product manufacturers, distributors. You know, everybody got the opportunity to talk about where their business was in the ecosystem, how it was doing financially, and what sort of pitfalls and obstacles were really making it difficult for them to run a successful business at the moment.
So when you were there, did you pick up on any common themes or points of discussion between the various groups? Are most people satisfied with the way things are going, or are they finding it difficult to just be legal business that is generally a lot more expensive for them than running a black or gray market enterprise?
Yeah, it's definitely more expensive, more headache, more issues with trying to become compliant and then maintain that compliance. You know, it's pretty crazy given the systems that are in place in other places, and Colorado and Nevada come to my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, those states, their systems are working. They may not be perfect, but they at least work in a way that keeps supply flowing, the dollars heading into the sort of state and local and municipal coffers from the taxes, and the consumers are relatively happy with the pricing and product offerings. While in California, which is by far and away the largest cannabis market on earth, these people can't even manage to issue annual licenses after an entire year of being in the adult use market.
Well, you know, we've got the same issues in Canada, and it doesn't look to be getting better anytime soon. So what is the story with testing? I'm hearing that is another sticking point in the system, that people are really unhappy with the way it's being set up. I understand that no one would decide to start smoking pesticides as a habit, but the way I hear the situation described, the smaller craft or artisan style producers, they seem to be getting the short end of a very sharp stick.
Well, you know what? That kind of sums it up. With the new testing regulations that have come into place, the requirements for product that's on retail shelves for sale,
right,
it is a testing component that is hugely expensive to comply with if you are a smaller producer. You know, it literally costs the same to test a batch that has 5 ounces in it as it does to test a batch that has 500 pounds in it.
Wow. So does that affect the prices the way I think it does?
Yep. It absolutely affects prices that way. If you're paying the same dollar amount to test a small batch as you would for a large batch, then when you amortize the cost of the testing over the batch size, that means that you've got wildly varying costs associated with nearly identical product. And the only variance in the pricing is what comes from the testing costs.
That's crazy. So you could buy an identical product, let's call it Purple Haze, that was produced from the clones of the same plant, but one of the producers grew 1,500 pounds, and their testing costs were pennies per ounce when spread across the lot, while another producer grew 50 pounds and has to pay the same amount for testing, but their costs, when you spread them out, are, let's say, 30 times more expensive.
That would be the math.
For what is almost identical product. So the price of the second batch of Purple Haze likely costs twice as much as the first for the same product. What's actually going on here?
Well, that is actually how that math works. That is what it amounts to. And a lot of the smaller growers are finding it impossible to get legal with their product. So they're now selling to gray and black market buyers who in turn are selling it on the gray market or the black market. And that means the state is not getting tax revenue on these sales. So everybody is a bit disgruntled, to say the least.
Yeah. And what about the legal dispensaries? How is this affecting them?
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting question. And the general consensus I took away from the panel members at the UCBA summit was that the gray and the black markets are at this point actually flourishing. The small batch craft style products are being sold in illegal pop-ups or through other non-compliant, non-regulated means. And this causes all of the folks who are ponying up to be legal to get hurt in two different ways. The first way is that the unlicensed stores are selling product more cheaply. And the second, which I find to be an even more interesting conundrum, is the selection at the licensed legal dispensaries is all trending towards large growers with the same product. And these dispensaries are being forced to sell on price, which doesn't help anyone.
So the licensed dispensaries, are they reporting the illegal shops?
Well, yeah, they've had to resort to do that in order to actually stay in business. I mean, it's not a surprise, and I cannot say that they should not do it. I mean, if these people are going to spend the money to be compliant, to be legal, they should be rewarded for doing that. I mean, take Santa Ana, for instance.
Right.
There's only one legal shop that I'm aware of, and, you know, that's an actual licensed retail storefront. But any month, there are any number of unlicensed shops that just pop up and start doing business in Santa Ana.
So the licensed shops report them, and then what happens?
Okay, well, in Santa Ana, they have started a process of temporary injunctions, restraining orders, that type of thing. So when they close down an illegal shop, all of the product, the cash, the fixtures, whatever's in the building, they're all stuck in limbo for at least a month. The owners don't have the ability to just go in the middle of the night and take everything out and move on and start up somewhere else.
So is that helping?
In Santa Ana, it seems to be. Prior to this, you know, the unlicensed dispensaries just kept popping up again and again. Within a day or two, they would send out either an SMS message or an email message to their client bases saying, hey, this is our new location. And it was sales as usual again within a day or two.
Gee, so in addition to fighting to get banking, trying to get licensed, and spending a ton of money on tested, compliant product, the legal dispensaries now have to police the unlicensed shops in order to stay in business?
Nail, meathead. You know, that is exactly the situation going on.
And going forward with the licensing?
Oh my God, this is like crazy talk. So there's a whole other can of worms here that is going to bite a lot of people before it's over. The rules and the regulations, as I understand it, say that the temporary licensing process that they've been using all year is going to end soon. And if there are not specific things set up and ready to go in the municipalities where the local licensing starts, then the BCC isn't going to be able to issue annual licenses. And by the time we roll around to April of 2019, there's the potential for a lot of people to have no license and no provisional way to get a license.
So this is shaping up to be a real nightmare for the legitimate industry in the state. That sounds like the end result here.
Yeah, I would agree with you wholeheartedly on your conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to be a shit show before it gets better. And, you know, we'll have to do another update after the first of the year towards the spring as we're rolling up towards the April deadline and see how it's going to shake out. You know, there's so many things left undone and there's so much confusion. It's a complete disconnect between the system as it exists and the way that it was sold to the voters in the ballot initiative. you know, this is going to be really hard to predict the end result.
Well, I know that we published a blog article not too long ago about the possibility that cannabis lawmaking might fade from the priority list once the elections were done and the dust is settled. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what's going on from there.
Yeah, you know, the American midterm elections and what happens with cannabis legalization, it's a totally different topic at this point, and we don't have time today to really say much about that.
Yeah, okay then. Well, with that said, I think we'll wrap up this one episode and finish by saying that go to cannabiswallet.net for your mobile ad platform needs.
Consulting, banking services, pick one.
That's right. Sounds good.
All right. Until next time, have a great week.